Okay, so that was Psalm chapter 10, and the title of my sermon today is The Evil UK Gambling Industry. The Evil UK Gambling Industry, because it is evil and it's actually steadily be getting worse and worse in this wicked nation. I don't know if many people are aware of that here. Statista, which is an online stats site, says that 32.3% of people gamble weekly here. 32.3%. In 2018, there were 36.6 million online remote gambling customer accounts at facilities licensed by the Gambling Commission in Great Britain. 36.6 million, of which 33.6 million were active, meaning they were used to gamble in that year. Okay, so 33.6 million active online accounts that have been used within the year. Now, considering there are approximately 55 million adults, which are 18 plus, because you have to be 18 plus to gamble here, that's over 65% have an online gambling account. Over 65% of adults in this country have an online gambling account. I hope you can see why I'm preaching about this sin, and it is a sin. The now online gambling market here is massive, okay? And it's changed a lot, obviously, with the online gambling market. Now, the UK's share of that is this. According to a study by Edison Investment Research, Europe dominated the global online gambling market in 2018 with 54% of the share. Asia and the Middle East had next largest with a 12% share, and then North America came in third place, 12%. Now, given that Europe consists of 54%, the UK's revenue made up 15% of that total. And how small is the UK as a part of Europe? It's clear to see that UK's contribution is substantial. Now, what types of online gambling activities does the UK enjoy the most? So the statistics show the share of online gambling participants in the UK is sports betting's the biggest. You've probably all seen adverts and stuff for sports betting. 81.3%. Casino games were close behind with 73.6%. Virtual dog or horse races made up 65%. Now, look, many years ago, and in fact, not that many years ago, you had to walk into some smoke-filled bookies. Yeah, obviously a betting shop, casino, or really go to a horse or dog racing event to be able to gamble in this country. Now, and I'm not saying that was right, but that was a big difference to now. Now, people are just on their phones, straight on their phone, and the temptation's there for everyone. And I'll tell you what, you know, for kids growing up here and for some people here, some will be more tempted than others. Now, it is massive. And there has been a steady progression to this point in this country. So just over 60 years ago, it was illegal. Just over 6 years ago, it was illegal to take bets away from a dog or horse track. Okay, illegal in this country. So again, you can see what a decline we've had in 6 years. It was illegal. There was a few loopholes where you could kind of get someone else to go and wager and through third parties, but it was basically illegal, barring they try to find loopholes. Now, low stakes football pools were the only thing allowed apart from that. And that was a mail order thing, and it was really low stakes. It was based on the whole season, and it was almost like a lottery. Almost. But again, I'm not saying that's right, but that's the difference there. Now, you know, it's a completely different thing. Now, there were some illegal backstreet gambling dens there, of course. There's always going to be stuff like that. But the Betting Act in 1960, I don't know if anyone knows much about this, for the first time allowed off-course gambling. And by the following year, May 1961, a whole host of new betting shops opened across the length of the country at a rate of 100 a week. So as soon as the government, you know, got their palms greased, I'm sure, maybe they didn't, but whatever happened, then suddenly 100 a week were just opening up everywhere. Now, there were still strict rules, but the shops became popular and led to the UK becoming the biggest gambling nation per head in the world. Okay, so we have a history of gambling here. It's nothing new, but when I say history, I'm talking about from 1960. And look at what have we become now in 60 years. Now, in the 90s, the rules changed more and people could bet on individual sports matches. That was only in the 90s. You couldn't go in and just bet on a football match before 1990 in this country. Then 2000s onwards was the start of online gambling. And by the way, when they did that, they still had some rules in place. But from 2000, we started having the online gambling. A new government regulatory body, the Gambling Commission, you know, one of those real, like, toothless regulatory bodies, require it, well, toothless when I say against the big companies, but what they did do is make it really hard for the small players to get involved. So requiring licenses and taxation, which seemed to all help to keep it amongst the now big companies, okay? And with it, the UK saw an explosion in online gambling, okay? A massive explosion. And in contrast, in case you're thinking, well, isn't this everywhere? The majority of US states outlaw online gambling. still to this day, the majority are out in terms of just any sort of online gambling like we can have here. So they have a few allowing it in varying quantities. So some only allow online casinos, online poker, sports betting. Some allow all three of them. Some it might be one or the other. But here it's absolutely massive. There is no restriction to it. You can just get on your phone, go straight onto one of these evil websites and just start gambling within a few seconds. It's pretty bad, isn't it? Now, here's some key facts from the Gambling Commission. 5.9 billion, they say, and check this out. So bear in mind, the gambling commissioners are people that are meant to be overseeing this, make sure that it's all, you know, safe and sound for all of us. 5.9 billion pounds is the total gross gambling yield, GGY, of the gambling industry in Great Britain. In brackets underneath, April to September 2020. So in 6 months. Yeah. Why are they telling us 6 month stats? Because from Statista, during the period April 19 to March 20, the industry generated a GGY of 14.22 billion British pounds. Okay, that's in a year, 14.2 billion pounds. The GGY is basically a metric used, it's basically profit. Okay, it's comparable to sales revenue, okay? It's basically profit. They have a few costs. They don't have that many costs, okay? That's what comes in as opposed to what's paid out. 14.2 billion, and that's the stuff registered with the Gambling Commission. Now, 14.2 billion pounds made by these scumbags by conning people into thinking it's fun and you could win big, because that's what they're doing. It's all a massive con. It's a massive con. 4 billion pound total gross gambling yield of the gambling industry in Great Britain, again, for 6 months, excluding lotteries. And we'll talk about the lottery in a minute. And there's a few other things. 9,000 total premises in Great Britain. 6,700 plus total number of betting shops in Great Britain. 470 million pound total GGY from great gaming machines in Great Britain. 396.8 from category B3 machines. They have different categories on what they pay out, what stakes you're allowed to put in as well. 3.1 billion from remote betting, bingo and casino sector, again in just 6 months. Okay, right, going forward, just there's a few other stats you probably wouldn't be that interested in, but here's one. 196.8 million contribution to good causes from large society lotteries. 775 million contributions to good causes from the National Lottery in 6 months. So you can pretty much double that to over a billion and a half that the National Lottery apparently paid to good causes. And we'll have a look at those in a minute. So who's spending all of this money and who's it going to? So who's it going to? In Psalm 10, if you're in Psalm 10, the psalmist starts by asking a common question. Why aren't you getting involved, God? Okay, and we probably all ask that at times, haven't we? Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? He says, the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. So much of this wicked industry is aimed at the poor. Okay, now get away from the Hollywood movies with the rich high flyers gambling and it's just, you know, all these rich people and they're making money. No, it's aimed at the poor. They target the poor with this. Don't be fooled by the top hats at Ascot. The majority of people at the horses, at the dogs, everywhere else are working class, yeah? If they're even working a lot of the time. And they always have been. The betting shops have been set up always in the most deprived areas, okay? Always. The most deprived areas in the country have the highest amount of betting shops in them. Now, there's been controversy, I don't know if you ever read about this, surrounding so-called FOBTs. Anyone heard of these? So these are fixed odds betting terminals in land-based bookmakers. So these gaming terminals offer basically casino-style slots and roulette to punters off the high street. Despite campaigns to limit bets and to pace the players' losses, FOBTs continue to bolster a huge homegrown betting industry. So basically, you could just walk into a shop in the high street and with, you know, in a row of shops, usually probably on a deprived estate or nearby somewhere, and literally within 10 seconds, you could be playing high-stakes casino games on a screen. Okay, it's as quick as that. You could just walk in, you're going past, they've got all the adverts, they've got the spinning roulette and everything else. You walk into the door and suddenly you've got money in your pocket, bang, you're on high stakes. And that's not like that at a casino, is it? You know, there's a bit more involved to stopping, getting it, going into a casino. Some will have dress codes in this country, especially in other things. Sometimes you'll have to get chips. There you literally just go in, money straight in. And you see people going in and out of these shops. You ever been nearby them? And you see people who look very poor a lot of the time. Okay, don't forget as well the fruit machines, the working class pubs where they'll have more fruit machines. The fruit machine shops, anyone seen those? on a high street, so they're literally like arcade, and it's just one up, like literally like 50 fruit machines. They never seem to have that many people in it. You say, how have you got so many machines? Now, this tactic of targeting the poor has continued online. And just in case you're wondering, like that, it is wicked to be targeting poor people with this. Now, we can sit here and think, well, you shouldn't get involved, should you? But look, they're getting targeted hard by this, okay? And how do they target them in the online industry? The gambling industry is using third-party companies to harvest people's data, helping bookmakers and online casinos target people on low incomes and those who have stopped gambling. This is a report in The Guardian. Now, they say traditional online gambling ads have become more expensive, which has encouraged betting firms to resort to alternative means to hook customers. This led to the increasing use of data analysis to win new customers, industry sources said. But they did have this guy, for, you know, they claim, because I know sometimes when they say sources, they could just be saying it. But again, I would, you know, I'd be sure that this is true. This is what he says. Third-party data providers allowed us to target their email list with precision, said a digital marketer who counted betting companies among his clients before leaving his agency last year. Lower income users were among the most successfully targeted segments. We could also combine segments, i.e. we could target users who are on less than 25K a year, own a credit card and have three kids via these providers. And that's the sort of thing they're doing. They're targeting people who have a low income but obviously will have high outgoings, so they don't have much money. Right, target them, and that, they're the ones they're sending the emails to. Anyone who's gambled before, they're getting lots and lots of emails offering them 10 free spins, free £10 bets to start off, and more and more and more, you know, and they'll hit all this stuff. And you've probably heard these tactics from casinos that do that sort of stuff as well, especially ex-players. They'll start sending them all sorts of offers and deals. Okay, so-called data houses, this is what they call them, collect information on age, income, debt, credit information, insurance details, which they pass to betting affiliates, companies that refer customers to online bookmakers for a fee. This helps the affiliates and the gambling firms tailor ads and target people based on what they earn. Basically, they're absolute scum, aren't they? Let's be honest, they are absolute scum. There are some scumbags in the world, but this is pretty low, isn't it? You're targeting poor people with families, and trying your utmost to get them into something that you know they're going to lose money in the long run on, aren't they? They might get the odd win here and there, but they're going to lose money. And it's highly addictive as well. Proverbs 14:31, you don't have to turn there, says, he that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoureth him hath mercy on the poor. They're treating God with contempt by oppressing the poor. Okay, that's what they're doing, because God made the poor, didn't he? He made everyone. They're treating him with contempt. On the other hand, we as Christians should have mercy on the poor, shouldn't we? We should have mercy on the poor. How do they get away with it? Well, basically, they're enabled by our wicked government. Okay, they're enabled by our wicked government, who are meant to be keeping an eye on things like that, aren't they? Verse 3 in Psalm 10 said, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. They're all wicked, they're all covetous, so that kind of works either way, but you could apply that to our wicked government getting things in return for blessing these covetous companies, because they are massively covetous, aren't they? They should all be arrested. The whole lot of them should be arrested, shouldn't they? Who are they then? Should we just have a quick look? Because, you know, part of preaching the Bible is preaching on these things, isn't it? And let's have a quick look at the top company, Flutter Stars Group. Now, again, this is an interesting one, because they don't just own one. Oh, well, it's a really big, successful betting company online or a bookies. No, Flutter Stars Group own Paddy Power, Betfair, Sky Bets, PokerStars and many, many others. So all this nonsense like they're in competition, they're not. It's a massive scam. Owned by the same people. Largest betting company in the world. 38% of online market share these people have. Ranking number one. Headquarters Dublin, Toronto. Both, that is. Revenue £3.8 billion. They earn a year. £3.8 billion. Okay? Revenue. Not just that comes in. Revenue. Yeah, that's it, basically their profit, isn't it? Employees, 12,500. High Street Shop, 600 in the UK. They were established in 2020. That was a merger recently which created this even bigger betting company. Number two is Entain PLC. Oh, who are they? I haven't heard of that. Well, no, you have. They're Ladbrokes, Coral, Gala, and the rest of them. You know, Gala Bingo, where the old ladies go and waste their money. Yeah, Coral, Gala, Ladbrokes, and many others. Ranking number two, headquarters London. Revenue, £3.7 billion. Employees, 30,000. High Street Shops, 4,000. Established in 2004. You've got Bet365 Group Limited. You've probably seen those adverts around. Ranking number three, headquarters Stoke-on-Trent, revenue £3 billion, employees 4,700, but high street shops none, established 2,000. William Hill PLC, probably heard of that. They're one of the original ones, I think, in this country. Ranking number four, headquarters London, revenue £1.6 billion, employees 16,000, high street shops 2,300, established 1934. Betfred, ranking five, headquarters Warrington, revenue £800 million, employees 1,000, high street shops 1,650, they're established in 67. Kindred Group, they've got Unibet, 32 Red, Stan James, they're all online ones mainly, I think. Ranking six, headquarters Malta, probably some sort of tax swerving there, revenue £800 million, employees 1,400, high street shops 100, Stan James, that is, all the high street shops, established 1997. And number seven, 888 Holdings PLC, ranking seven, headquarters Gibraltar, again, definitely for tax reasons there, revenue £600 million, employees 1,400, no high street shops, established 97. That's seven of the scummiest, greedy, exploiting companies operating in the UK. Okay, that's seven of the scummiest companies in the UK. Because it's not just that they're targeting poor people to get richer. They know full well the devastation caused by gambling addiction. Okay, they know full well the devastation they are causing. Keep a finger in Psalm 10 and turn to Proverbs 30. Keep a finger in Psalm chapter 10 and turn to Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 14. Proverbs 30 and verse 14 says, "There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men." They devour the poor and needy, these people. They're filth. Out of all the people to target, the poor, I mean, it's hardly Robin Hood, is it? You know, so they're literally just targeting the poor to rob what little they have and to rip them off. Now, according to Providence Project, in the UK, it is estimated that approximately 430,000 people are suffering from compulsive gambling. That's a lot. And that's what they think by, this is a rehab centre that have been dealing with this for many years. They think nearly 500,000 people are suffering from compulsive gambling. They're people that basically will admit they can't stop, people that are gambling very, very regularly. People with a gambling problem are 15 times more likely to take their own life. That's really sad, isn't it? 15 times more likely, according to the largest study of its kind, prompting calls for swifter action by the government to tackle betting addiction. You think they're going to tackle that? Sure. Academics at Lund University, Sweden, monitored more than 2,000 people with gambling disorders, finding a significantly elevated risk of suicide among participants compared with the general population over an 11-year period. So that was a proper study. It wasn't just a quick kind of stat check. That would be more than 10 per week in the UK. So that would be 10 suicides per week in the UK due to gambling addiction. How sad is that? Okay, and these people know full well, don't they? They know full well what they're doing. We should care about that, shouldn't we? We should care about that. As Christians, I hope you care about that. Job chapter 30, verse 25, we don't have to turn there, says, "Did not I weep for him that was in trouble? Was not my soul grieved for the poor?" Okay, and that's Job speaking there, and our souls should be grieved for the poor. That should anger us. They're people that are just getting targeted by these scummy companies. Back to Psalm 10, though. Psalm chapter 10 and verse 4 says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them." Imagine what sorts of threats and skullduggery go on to become one of the major players in this horrible business. Can you imagine? To get to that point where you're on the 5-6 billion, I can only imagine what goes on behind the scenes and has done to get there. But regardless, verse 6, "He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity." And they do deceive people into thinking it's fun, don't they? It's a bargain. Oh, yeah, you know, the free spins, the first free bet, the £5 free, the £10, the £20, you know, the buy one, bet, get one free, all this stuff. Yeah, you know, it's all deceit. They want to defraud you. Anyone who ever thinks about gambling, they're trying to defraud you, okay? It's all tricks and lies. The whole thing is marketing tricks and lies. Verse 8, "He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages, in the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor, the betting shops, the secret online accounts. And there are many people in the world that have secret online accounts and won't mention it to you know, family, friends, etc. The secret online accounts, the betting shops, they're pretty murky, lurking places, aren't they? They've tried to upmarket them a bit recently, but previously, I remember when I was young, and my family would do the Grand National once a year, and you go down these places, and they were pretty, like, nasty dens, weren't they, And to be honest, it hasn't changed a lot. They try to make them a little bit more glamorous. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. This is verse 9. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. It's a trap. It's a trap, isn't it? The whole industry is a trap. A little bet on the Grand National, or a one penny per spin on the roulette online. Oh, at least, it's only a penny. It's just going to keep me amused. Low stake fruit machines, cheap scratch cards. It's a scam. The whole thing's a trap. It's just to get you into it, and you start doing it a bit more, and you get a little win sometimes. You feel like, okay, this is pretty good. And then you're chasing that win again. You're chasing that feeling, aren't you? Now, you might chase it for a lot more money than that win was. Because people do, well, I'm going to get it eventually, and then it just increases. Now, that could go on for years. Some people will stay low stakes for years. Some people, there are a few people that could control it. There are people that will bet on the odd football match. They think that's their minimal. But there are many, many people where it eventually will destroy them. Yeah. Okay? It's wicked. It's all a trap. Eventually, it becomes people's crutch, doesn't it? So it becomes that thing where I'm just feeling really rubbish. A little bet would help me out. Just a little hour on the roulette online or something else, or a little scratch card that'll cheer me up a little bit. That's what people do, don't they? They do many addictions. It starts to become your excuse to make you feel better. Verse 10 says, he croucheth and humbleth himself that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He humbleth himself. These wicked people preying on the poor. For example, anyone seen the slogan, when the fun stops, stop? This is what they have on the front of some of these shops. So they have it on some of their adverts for gambling. You come up maybe on YouTube when you're watching something, you get a gambling advert. Say, when the fun stops, stop. Oh, yeah, they're so humble. You know, they really care about you. They really care. Just make sure that it's just fun. In a way, you're basically telling everyone it's fun, aren't you, as well? It's like an advert. When the fun stops, stop. But it's really fun, Oh, but actually, no. That was actually some sort of government initiative, apparently, where they had to put this on. And they're basically just advertising their product, aren't they? Not because a lot of people can't stop, can they, when the fun stops? Wicked. What about, we give away lottery money to good causes. What about the lottery then? Yeah. Oh, we create multiple millionaires every week. It's such a good thing, really. All these happy people, they're so happy. And all the money we're giving away to good causes. Yeah, the lottery. £7.9 billion spent on it in a year from 19 to 20. £7.9 billion has been wasted on that. Camelot says, they say, we only take 1% profit. It's only 1%. It's so little, 1% profit. By the way, that's after 4% in operating costs. Okay, so it's not we only take 1% total. We've already done all our operators. We paid everyone. We paid our staff. We paid our CEOs and everyone else a high figure. Then on top of that, we only take £79 million a year profit. Only 79 a million. £79 million a year. It's only a little 1%. Sounds so much better when you say 1%, doesn't it? Who's that going to? That's 79 million profit. And guess who plays it the most? The poor. The poor. Play it the most. They'll go down there with their last 20 quid and get 20 lottery tickets, won't they? Again, being lied to. Just a bit of fun, they say. They say we give plenty away to good causes. They humble themselves. Yeah, we're just really, it's really to help people out, isn't it? It's for the fun and everything else. We only take 1%. It's basically like giving to charity. Have you heard people say that before? Yeah, but I play the lottery. It's like giving a charity, Really, do you want to know some of the good causes that National Lottery money goes to? Yeah? Come on, let's hear it, yeah? And I tell you what, this is quite educational about what sort of causes there are out there, so-called causes. Micro Rainbow. Anyone heard of Micro Rainbow? Micro Rainbow is a nationwide organisation with a vision to create a world where lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, queer and intersex, I haven't heard of this one, this is LGBTQI, people are free from discrimination, persecution, and have equal opportunities in life, including accessing employment, training, education, financial services, healthcare, housing, places of faith, and public services. Some of the amazing projects, this is from the National Lottery website, they've been working on include providing safe housing to LGBTQI asylum seekers and refugees. Bring them in, guys. Bring them in. We've got safe housing for you. Facilitating access to employment, volunteering, training and education for LGBTQI refugees through their Moving On programme. They should be moving on, shouldn't they? Providing social inclusion activities to reduce the extreme isolation faced by LGBTQI people. So basically, a big hookup. Massive hookup area for them. Recognising that in 76 countries, homosexuality is illegal and that 1,500 LGBTQI refugees from those countries come to the UK every year. Anyone know that? Every year. Micro Rainbow opened the first safe house in the UK dedicated solely to supporting the LG blah, 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 asylum seekers and refugees. Because of their sexuality, gender identity, gender expression or intersex status, they often still aren't safe here. They may face being abused in refugee accommodation by the refugees who often come from the same countries they're escaping from. They haven't been as brainwashed as here yet. Meaning they become homeless, depressed and living in poverty. Oh, rejected by their ethnic communities, Micro Rainbow provide a safe and temporary shelter from this. Find out how you can get involved via, and again, all over the National Lottery. So when you're playing in the lottery, your money's going to organisations like that. And again, I found these quite interesting. I didn't, you know, they're not the sort of thing you're going to read about often. So let's hear about another one, the Mosaic Trust. Based on in North London, the Mosaic Trust are committed to building a strong and cohesive, this is LGBT plus. Is that just like we're going to forget adding letters anymore? We just put a plus now, yeah? Yeah, anyone know that? Apparently, I think so. Community that is safe and free from prejudice with a hope to enable every LGBT plus young person. Oh, yeah. What do they go after again? The kids. Young person to feel empowered, inspired and proud of who they are. So this is just an open paedophile organisation, isn't it? Their fantastic team of colleagues and volunteers, yeah, I bet there's a lot of volunteers, organise numerous activities, programmes and services to provide essential resources, advocate for LGBT plus rights and embrace, promote and endorse the diversity of young people. That is basically, we are a paedophile organisation, isn't it? And I bet when they have their volunteers, I bet they don't employ, whether voluntary or not, a cross-section of society, do they? How about some fundamental Baptists come down there, get involved as well, because they don't want to discriminate, do they? With our own views, you know, what the Bible says. The Mosaic Youth Club is one of the life-changing programmes provided by the organisation. Can you believe this wickedness? And this is where your money, if you play the lottery, is going to. The Mosaic Youth Club. This is a weekly safe and supportive club for under-18s, encouraging members to make new friends and enjoy workshops exploring sexual health, queer history and more, all while being their true selves without fear of prejudice. Youth club membership also includes access to Culture Club, a regular program of discounted or free. They're even in trying to bribe them into it, enriching trips to LGBT plus related cultural experiences. What on earth are they? Can you believe this? This is what's going on in our country. Find out about how you can get involved at and then the involved. They've got one, and again, because we have a few Scottish viewers, let's have a look what goes on there. LGBT Youth Scotland. Again, what is it? Youth Scotland. Support. They support lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender and intersex. We're back to the LGBTI now. Young people with their mental health and well-being, as well as enabling them to build personal resilience and develop stronger connections within their communities. Basically, we're going to hook you up with queers if you're a young youth, so-called queer. A network of dedicated team members and 75 plus volunteers run a selection of weekly youth groups for young people across Scotland aged 13 to 25. Age 13 to 25. 75 plus volunteer paedophiles run a selection. This is going on in in the UK, in Scotland. And I'm sure it's going on down here as well. Provide regular digital support groups, an interactive live chat system. Can you imagine that? Who's moderating that? The Wolves. And an online advice centre offering information on everything from parental advice to bullying and hate crime reporting. in celebration of Pride Month, the organisation is currently sending out digital Pride picnic packs, encouraging people to come together outdoors and reconnect with loved ones whilst raising money for charity. So why not invite your friends? Get creative. Talking to 13 plus here, and make the most of this summer with a Pride picnic. Order your kit here. And I can't read any more of this. I've got another one there. United Pride Friends, just the same old film. That is wicked, isn't it? Yeah. Not only the fact that they exist, is that wicked. It should be shocking, isn't it? It's shocking that there are organisations like that out here, out in this country, openly advertising this, yeah? Openly advertising this, but that our national lottery chooses to fund them. Our national lottery chooses to fund them. And where you start allowing a certain amount of wickedness, it all just goes more and more, does it? Where you've got sodomites in the land, the rest goes hand in hand with it. So every time anyone buys a lottery ticket, a Euro Millions ticket, a lottery scratch card, you're giving some of your money to perverseness like this. And by the way, I only read a few of those. They've got all sorts. Like some sort of queer heritage or something they call it. They've got all sorts. And by the way, that's only the sodomite stuff, let alone the rest of you can imagine where your money's going if you play the lottery. You go in and you get a scratch card, you think it's a bit of fun, some of your money, you're enabling this filth. You're enabling these nonces, okay? It's wicked. 2 Chronicles 19:2, you don't have to turn, it says, and Jehu the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Wrath. Don't play the lottery. Don't play any of it. Can you imagine this 60 years ago? The lottery would have been illegal. Okay, that was illegal, let alone then giving a load of money to a bunch of perverts. Okay, and it has got a lot worse. Yes, I know there's nothing new under the sun, but the state of it now, okay, 60 plus years ago, no way. Verse 11, back to Psalm 10, verse 11. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face, he will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand, forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He hath said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite, to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. Wait a minute, that's not very loving, is it? Oh, hold on. Must have been a misprint. Must have been an error. Translation error. It's not very loving, though, is it, to forget the victims of all this evil, is it? That's not loving. What will be. No, that's not loving. Yeah. Oh, but they wear suits. They wear suits. The people, you know, organising this and running, they must be all right. Can't be that bad. Can't be that bad. Get, you know, the common criminals. Get the poor, you know. No, these people are the vilest criminals that run these organisations, aren't they? And that includes Camelot. That includes all these betting companies. They're wicked. Verse 16, the Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. There's a day coming soon, isn't there? There's 1,000 years coming soon. What a time that's going to be, eh? What a time that's going to be. But until then, until that day, what can we do? What can we do as Christians other than following the command of God? Because it is a command of God to preach it from the pulpit. If only churches had done this, eh? Yeah. If only churches in this country had carried on or had preached the word of God. I'm sure some did. If that had happened and they carried on following a command of God and we carried on having churches planted, having churches built because they were following what God told them to do and they were preaching the word of God and preach against this sort of evil, we wouldn't be in this position now, would we? We wouldn't be in this position now. But, unfortunately, they haven't, have they? So we need to make sure that we as God's people keep as far away from this wickedness as we possibly can, don't we? Okay, every single person, every single child here growing up. Because, look, how much has it gone in our lifetimes? How much has this changed? Okay, who knows what sort of way they're going to be pushing gambling out as one of many, many sins in your face when you're older. Okay, because right now, we've got it right on a phone at the click of a button. There are apps, aren't there? You could literally just click an app straight on and you're gambling. You know, credit card details put in once, it's wicked. The ease they make it to sin. Okay, so we need to make sure we keep away from it. Now, you might say, well, okay, I get it about the lottery, Brother Ian, okay? Maybe I did or I didn't realise that. I don't play already, yeah? Okay, I get that. We don't want to donate money to basically God-hating child abusers, yeah? No one wants to be doing that. We all get that, okay? If you didn't already, I hope you get that now, okay? But almost every big company is evil and predatory. And that's true, isn't it? Pretty much every big company. If you got to the point where you just went, well, they're evil or they're wicked, you'd probably have a Christian farmers market somewhere where we would probably all, and maybe a few select from around the country, would meet up and trade, and that would probably be about it. So we can't. We have to live in this world, don't we? If we boycotted everyone, we wouldn't be able to live in this world. And you might say, and there's no verse that says thou shalt not gamble. Is there a verse in the Bible that says thou shalt not gamble? There isn't. No, there's not. But how about thou shalt not covet? How about that one? Thou shalt not covet. And obviously we could give a list of things, but anything that is our neighbours, yeah? Thou shalt not covet. If you're not coveting the winnings or something to get with the winnings, why are you gambling? Yeah? If you're not coveting the winnings or whatever you want to buy with the winnings, why are you gambling? Why on earth would you gamble? Gambling, number one then. So things that we can do as Christians, or points, sorry, as to why it's a sin and why we need to avoid it. Number one, gambling is covetousness. Gambling is covetousness all day long. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And from verse 6. 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. If you're content, why are you gambling? Verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Are you gambling to afford food and clothing? If any Christians are, crazy. Because the chances are you're going to lose, aren't you? But they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. If you're not chasing riches, why are you gambling? Why are you gambling? That's why people fall into the temptation and snare of it, don't they? And look, it's both foolish, okay? It is foolish. The odds are stacked against you. Did you see the profit these people are making? $14 billion in the industry. It's all profit. The lottery's foolish. That's why they're making $1.5 billion a year profit from it after they've given a load of money to a load of queers. Because the chance of you winning, the chance of you winning the actual lottery, like the jackpot, are zero. Yeah. And there's many debates. I don't want to get into that. Some people think the whole thing's an absolute scam. I don't know. But for me, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Why would you play it? Why would you play it? It's foolish. It's hurtful, isn't it? It said here in verse 9, they that will be rich, so want to be rich, their goal is on riches, fall into temptation and snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. And look, the amount of families, think about the amount of people that have committed suicide. Think about the devastation, destruction of families, the ones that haven't. What it's done to people. I've known people, I've talked before, I think I mentioned it once, I think when we were talking about covetousness, an old friend of mine who absolutely, like, complete addict. He has to have his partner, his long-term girlfriend, sadly, has to take his bank card away. She has to have his money from his employer straight into her account the day it comes in, because otherwise he'll find a way to gamble it away on online poker, and it'll be gone within a day. He's a complete addict. He'll admit that, you know. And then when you see him, and it's a guy that used to be a confident, bold guy, he's just this embarrassed mess, because when you talk to him, he's just got absolutely no self-respect at all, because he knows that he basically has to just do everything his girlfriend says, or the money's just going to go. She has to control his finances, she controls his life, she has to buy things for him out of his money, because if she gives him any access, it will just be gambled away. And he's one of many. I know other people that have destroyed their lives through gambling. It's hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. They're drowned in the repercussions, aren't they? Drowning in it. And people, you've ever been in hard times like that, or times when you feel like an addiction or something's getting worse, people feel like they're drowning, can't they? They feel like they're drowning. There's no way out. Verse 10 says, for the love of money is a root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It's covetousness. Pure and simple, isn't it? Covetousness. Verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Like fornication, flee covetousness. Yeah? We all understand that we should flee fornication. In the same way, we should flee covetousness. Flee these things, he said here. Flee it. That means run, get away, get as far away as you possibly can. Gambling isn't righteous, godly, faithful, loving, patient or meek, is it? None of it is. And look, Hebrews, you don't have to turn it. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Our behaviour should be without covetousness. And look, even buying a scratch card is covetous. It's covetous. Yeah. I don't care what people say, it is. Oh, it's just a bit of fun. Why don't you have a bit of fun without the money being the reward? Yeah? Oh, well, you know, it's like playing an arcade game. We'll go and play an arcade game then. You know? Why are you doing something which where the reward's money? It's not very fun pressing spin, or whatever else, is it? I mean, think of much more fun games where you might use a little bit of, you know, a bit of coordination or something else. But we should have contentment with what God provides for us, shouldn't we? So number one was its covetousness. Number two, gambling is bad stewardship. Gambling is bad stewardship. Look, if you've got the money and you're gambling, you're a bad steward. If you've got enough money and you're gambling, whether you feel you're an addict or not, you're a bad steward. If you haven't got the money and you're gambling, you're a fool. Okay? If you haven't got the money, you think you're going to make what you need from gambling, you're a fool. Okay? So either way, you're a fool. Did you not hear the profit these people are making? Surely. Okay, from idiots who give them their money, because that's really what it is. And again, look, we should have pity on the poor. They're targeted, but we know better, yeah? We, and from this sermon, hopefully anyone that still goes out and gambles is a fool, okay? You're a fool. The house always wins. The house always wins in the end, doesn't it? Otherwise, they wouldn't have their businesses. They wouldn't be merging and setting up however many sub-businesses underneath. They wouldn't. Why are people in this business? Because they always win. Because they always make money. You don't see casinos closing down because they've gone bankrupt, do you? If God has provided you with money, don't just give it away to some wicked God haters. Because you might as well just go and find the wickedest people you can and just go, here's some cash. Here's some cash. Oh, can you give me a bit of fun for it? You know, sing me a song or something. Or do a jig, you know, because that's really what you're doing. Okay. You could give it to a real charity, couldn't you? And I say real charity, because again, like, if you're going to be a good steward of money, don't just put your money in the box. I don't think they have that much because they're trying to steer away from cash. Don't just put your money in the box at the till. Yeah, don't just give money to whatever idiot comes to your door, stops you on the street going, yeah, I'm collecting for this charity. Because when you look in a charity, that would be a good sermon one day. I'm going to expose some charities because they are wicked. A lot of them are a complete scam. They pay their once a month secretary $100,000 a year and stuff like that. And that's at the lower end, you know. So much scam. But give it to a real charity, you know, that you actually have some idea where your money's going. The church, you could give it to a church. It doesn't just have to be ours. You could support one of our friendly churches. You know, you could use it for something profitable. Yeah, use it for something profitable. Turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 and verse 11. Luke 16:11 says, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Mammon being money there. We need to be faithful with the money that God gives us, don't we? Okay? It's not faithful giving it away to some evil, scummy company. And then is he really going to entrust us the true riches? No. Number three is gambling is seeking easy money. Okay, gambling is just seeking easy money, isn't it? Okay, it might be some people say it's for fun, really. It's the quick cash. Yeah. Genesis 3, you don't have to turn there. God said, cursed is the ground for thy sake, for your own good. He then said, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. Proper work is good for us, isn't it? Proper work is good for us. The biblical principle is to work for our money. Okay, it's to work for our money, not to try and find what the quickest, easiest way of getting some money without having to work for it, is it? Okay, we're meant to work, and you're better and you're happier and you're more content, men, when you work for your money, aren't you? Amen. For sure. Proverbs 13:11 says, "Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labour shall increase." Wealth gotten by vanity, that's emptiness, just quickly, easily, shall be diminished. It goes quickly. But he that gathereth by labour shall increase. The occasional big wins from gambling will just go quickly, won't they? Yeah, it does. Quick, easy money goes quickly. When you haven't earned it, it goes quicker. You know, the people that get the easiest money spend the most, don't they? Because when you earn it with proper work, you keep it for longer because you have a bit more respect for the money that you've earned, don't you? When you've had to graft, and I'm not saying necessarily physical, when you've had to work long hours, be it in front of a screen, whether it be, you know, digging, lifting, carrying, whatever it is, when you've earned that money, when you've put the hours in, you don't want to just whittle it away, do you? You don't want to whittle it away. Turn to Proverbs chapter 28. And look, like, I've just picked a few proverbs here. There's so much in the Bible about work, isn't there? Working for your money, about being diligent, about working, not being slothful, yeah, not being a sluggard. And sadly, a lot of gamblers are, aren't they? Not all, but a lot of them, it's a covetousness. Maybe some of them, it might be on top of a job, you know, but a lot of them, they're trying to find a way, some sort of way, some sort of tip, something to get easy money. Proverbs 28 and verse 22 says, "He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him." Being in a hurry to get rich and sin go hand in hand, don't they? They go hand in hand. "He hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him." And sadly, like with many other get-rich-quick ideas, so many gamblers eventually end up poor. Yeah, and look, you know, we want to earn our money, and there's nothing wrong with being enterprising and things like that. But when you're trying to find something which is just quick, easy money, it ain't going to work out well for you, especially not as a child of God. Okay, number four, gambling is addictive. Okay, it is addictive. It might not be a physical addiction in terms of some sort of chemical in your body that goes in, but you know what? It's a chemical that's released when you gamble, which is addictive. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." So many people under power of gambling. And it might not be that it's every day. It might be that it's once a week. It might be that they just can't resist once a month. They're still under the power of it, aren't they? And I'm sure there are many Christians worldwide that would say that, that would admit to that. Don't think, though, that you're too strong to end up an addict. Don't think that you're too strong to end up an addict. Look, there are many gambling addicts in the world that probably felt that when they started. Yeah, that probably felt that they're all right, they got a lid in it, they're controlled, they can get away with just a bit here, a bit there. No. Turn to Titus chapter 2. Well, I'll read 1 Peter 2:11. So you turn to Titus 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 11 says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." He beseeches them to abstain from the fleshly lusts which war against the soul. You're definitely not in the spirit when you're down the betting shop, are you? "Oh, I'm just so in the spirit right now while I'm down the betting shop, you know, putting money on this, playing the fixed odds betting machines." In a casino, are you in the spirit in the casino? Buying lotto tickets when you stop at the garage? "Yeah, I'm just so in the spirit right now. Yeah, give me a roll of 10 of those, number, whatever." You know, you see guys spending a lot of money on that, don't you? 20, 30 quid I've seen people, just like £20 note, they've got 20 scratch cards. What a waste of money, you know? Or on some online casino site. You're in the spirit when you're holding your phone and just clicking on this or betting on that, placing bets on some random sport. No way. Titus 2:11-12 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world." We've got to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. There is no doubt it's a worldly lust, isn't it? So worldly lust, it's addictive, because lusts are, aren't they? They're addictive. Get rid of the addictions. They war against the soul, and they do, don't they? They war against the soul. Get rid of the addictions. Do what you have to. Get them out of your life. You want to serve God. You want to be a good Christian. You want to be in it for the long haul as well. You've got to get rid of them. Okay, you might think, "Well, I'm doing all right now. You know, okay, so I bet now and again, or gamble now and again. But I still read my Bible. I soul win. I come to church. I do this." Eventually, it is right now warring against your soul. Eventually, there's a big chance it's going to win that war, isn't there? Okay, look, we don't want to be Roman candle Christians here, do we? Okay, because a lot of people are fairly new, really, in the grand scheme of things, aren't they? That's, you know, really, most people in here are fairly new to Christianity. If you look at really places where there's people that have been saved from a lot younger. I mean, we're quite a new generation of people that have been getting saved, you know, later in our life. And look, we've got to take heed, yeah? He who thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Because it doesn't matter. You might be getting the salvations. You might be going soul winning. You might be going to church. You might be reading your Bible. You might be reading 12 chapters a day plus. You might be praying to God and everything else. That doesn't mean that, right, I'm in it, man. I'm there for the long haul. It can easily fail, can't it? How many Christians that start off great end up backsliding? Don't be a Roman candle Christian. Burns brightly and then just peters out, yeah? Okay, so number five. Gambling is a bad testimony, isn't it? Gambling is a bad testimony. Okay, Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We don't want our unsaved friends or family thinking that we're just some degenerate gambler, do we? Okay, those unsaved people that you're trying to show your good works to as well. Yeah, sure, you want to preach them the gospel. We know we're not preaching works, but we want to be an example, don't we? Because they want to bring you down. They want to criticize you. They want to find fault in you. And that scratch card stub in your car or your van or your house or whatever it is, those old lottery tickets wherever, you know, that online account or you know, they catch you on your phone, look over you. You know, that's such a bad testimony, isn't it? Okay, we don't want to be that because they want to find fault. Oh, yeah, so-called Christian gambler. And you might think you've got a lid in it. You might think you're just having some fun. You might think it's just a betting stub for a horse. You know, someone gave me a tip, you know. It wasn't unwise. Someone gave me a tip. I betted on this whatever race it is. You know, it was a one-off. I just went down to Dogs with some work friends from work. You know, I just had a couple of, you know, just to keep. I didn't drink, but I just, you know, played a few of the, or however you say, I don't know what they say, betting on a few races, I suppose. Yeah, you might have just done that, but you know, what are the friends and family going to say? They're going to see it as you're a gambler. You've got a problem because they want to see the worst in you, don't they? It's a bad testimony. Okay, and we also don't want our saved family and friends and children and everyone else thinking, well, it's not that bad because he does it, she does it. It's not so bad because mum does it. You know, mum just plays now and again. I've seen, you know, I've glanced at her phone. She just plays a little fruit machine game now and again. It can't be that bad. She's quite a godly woman. You know, she's pretty on the right tracks. Can't be that bad. And, you know, kids pick up on all that stuff, don't they? You might think you've hidden something from your kids. No, it's covetousness. Yeah, it's covetousness. And that's a church discipline offence, isn't it? It's a church discipline offence, covetousness. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. It's a church discipline offence. And look, covetousness will get you kicked out of a church. Now, I'm not saying, right, if you've ever gambled, that's it, you're covetous, you're getting out. But after this sermon, if people are still gambling, then for me, that's a big sign that you've got a covetous issue. And we want to get that out, don't we, before it infects other people in the church. Okay, and look, you know, we want people in the church. We want people to get right, don't we? And look, by the way, I'm not preaching. I haven't got someone's come and whispered to me and gone to gambling. Kids, if you want to. No, I'm joking. No one's done that yet. But look, considering the stats that I read earlier, and it's just something that came to me. I saw some advert for a betting site, and I thought, it's massive in this country. It's massive here, yeah? And we've got a church of, you know, 57 we had in last week, so we haven't done a tally up today yet. And we've got however many watching online, and over the course of the week, maybe a couple of hundred that watch it, or 100 or whatever it is. And if, I mean, by the stats, there's going to be some people that at least the door maybe has been opened at some point, yeah? At least, and I hope there's no one here that habitually gambles, but if there is, get right. Because if it does come to my attention, then the you know, you're covetous. It's covetous, especially after this sermon. If you can't get rid of it, you've got an issue there. Yeah, and you need to deal with it quickly. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 13. It says, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance." So like I said, if you've had a problem with this in the past, put it behind you. Yeah, put it behind you. Okay? That was in ignorance, but don't even glance through the crack of that open door, yeah? Don't even look at it because it's so addictive. It'll pull you back in. So many addictions are things, any issues that any of you have had in life before salvation, even post-salvation, even up until this sermon and sermons that come in the future, then look, you've got to put them behind you, and you've got to make sure, you've got to treat it with respect. Yeah, addictions are like that. You've got to treat them with respect and keep as far away as possible for the rest of your life. Yeah, don't go, even if it means changing a route that you don't walk past the betting shops, you know, on your way to work or whatever it is, you know, do what you can, because eventually when you're weak, when you're low, when you just had a row with the wife or a row with the husband or whatever else is a stress, someone's died or in your family or something else, that's when it gets you. That's when someone will go, sod this, I'm going to go and place a bet, or I'm going to go and, you know, whatever it is, you know, have a drink, or that's when it happens, isn't it? You might think, well, things are going good now, I'm doing well, I'm strong, but you've got to make sure it's just as far away as possible. There's no possibility. You've got gambling it, old online accounts, cancel them. Cancel them, make sure you're off them, make sure that you've unsubscribed from any emails, put them in your spam folder, make sure you're not, because eventually it will get you. I hope and pray it doesn't, and I hope that people take heed, because if you've had this problem or any other problem, that goes with any other addictive sort of sin. Okay, verse 15 says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That's in all of our behaviour. Yeah, we're called to be holy, aren't we? Because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." There's nothing holy about gambling in any form, is there? Nothing holy about it. We want to be a testimony to those around us, and gambling prevents that, doesn't it? Okay, gambling will prevent us being a testimony to those around us. At some point, sadly, a lot of the time, people will crumble with it as well. It'll destroy you. Okay, so other than giving your money to the wicked oppressors of the poor, not to mention playing the national sodomy, five reasons that gambling is a sin. Number one, gambling is covetousness. Number two, gambling is bad stewardship. Number three, gambling is seeking easy money. Number four, gambling is addictive. Number five, gambling is a bad testimony. Surely one of those would be enough, isn't it? One of those should be enough. I don't care if it doesn't say thou shalt not gamble. We shouldn't be doing any of those things on that list, should we? And that makes it clear to me, it's not only a sin, it's a sin with it on multiple levels. Multiple levels, and there are many sins in life which aren't pictured, which aren't like set out in text in the Bible, but we know they're sins, don't we? Right. And this is one of them. Okay, gambling is a sin. It's a wicked sin. It's a destructive sin. It's a sin that in this country is getting pushed on us, promoted on us more and more and more as the years go by. Our kids are going to come up against this, and kids, I hope you've listened. I hope you've listened to this. There's nothing good about it. It's only going to cause you destruction. Kids, please just don't even go down that route. Don't place a bit of money on the Grand National, whatever the tradition is. You know, I don't know if they still push that and promote that. Maybe they do still. Get away from the online gambling. It's not fun. If you have to play a computer game, which are addictive as well, but at least play something that doesn't have money at the end of it. Don't get sucked into it. Don't play the poker with the friends or say, oh, we just pay for pennies. Because again, it starts to get that enjoyment, that lure, that little feeling when you win off your mates and you're a kid, you win a pound in pennies or something like that. And it just, that can suck you in. It's a trap, it's a snare. Yeah. And then after that, you start, well, you know, that was quite fun. Let's play for pounds next time. And then it goes up and up as you get older. Steer clear of it all. Because you might think, well, I'm good enough, I'm going to win. But the problem is, you'll then start playing more and more. And then you'll start playing the online where they're just stitching you up or whatever it is, because you'll get addicted to the gambling. It's not, well, I'm a good poker player. I know a guy that claimed this. This guy was, he was a mathematic whiz, this guy. And I was at school with him. He was unruly as hell, this kid. But he was a brain box, okay? And he ended up doing some sort of, I mean, he was like the eternal student, doctorate and wave studies next. And it was this, just all like, just the maths was unreal. In fact, he was intelligent in many areas. But this guy was actually getting paid to play online poker as well. And everyone was, wow, you know, how cool, you know? This guy's so good, he's playing online poker. He's some bum somewhere now, some drug addict bum somewhere. You know, he's not making no money, he's skint. Last time I heard, and to be honest, I think he's now reprobate from what I can gather. And look, you know, and this guy, you would think, well, if anyone's going to play, you know, oh, you can card count. You might be a clever kid. Oh, well, I can card. It doesn't matter. You'll always lose. Yeah, it's an addiction. It's a fleshly lust, and it's a sin. So on that, guys, let's just steer clear of that, like many, many other sins in life. And on that, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you that you just give us so many principles in the Bible that make so many new sort of sins, or maybe not even new, but things which aren't exactly spelled out, just so clear to us. When we read and when we study and when we know the word, we can't excuse things like gambling along with many, many other sins. I pray that you'll help those that are affected by it, not just in this church, but the poor in life that we should care about, we should care about, and I pray that you'll just break the arms of the wicked people that are preying on the poor in this country and around the world, and supporting the filth that we're seeing there. Again, it's just victimizing what probably a lot of the time ends up being poor kids as well, and many others. I pray that you not only break their arms, but break their teeth as well. And we pray that you just punish those people, punish them, and just help all those afflicted by it. But I pray as well for the members of our church as well, and those that regularly listen online, that you'll just, if anyone has been down this route or had problems with this in the past, you just help them to get rid of it out of their life. That you help them to be strong, you help them to be sensible, to be wise, and anyone else that might possibly get tempted by this in the future, that you just keep them away from this sin, and all other sins as well, but especially this sin we're talking about today. Just pray that you just keep them wise and distance from it. And Lord, I pray that you just help us now this afternoon to go out and get people saved, and hopefully get ones that want to come also and hear the word of God preached and to change their lives as well, like so many of our lives have been changed. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.